That was liquid football.
You're a wizard of some kind.
This is where you hit start button and then we're, this is it.
Yeah, so don't say anything too dodgy.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode.
I'm not in the mood to censor you today.
No?
No, you cost me a lot of time last week censoring.
Yeah, listen, censorship's important these days.
Is it? I thought we wanted less censorship.
That's your opinion.
Or do you want more censorship?
Depends what we're censoring.
Well, any old dickhead can grab a microphone nowadays and an internet connection and broadcast his absolute bullshit to the world. Is that a good or a bad thing?
How dare you?
How do you know I was talking about you? You just assumed I was talking about you.
You're pointing at me.
Well, I have to look at you because you sat in front of me on a Zoom screen.
I'd go Zoomy this week, haven't we?
Why have we had to go Zoom? Why do you think you're so busy that you can't come to the studio and record like a normal human being?
It's a sign of success, mate.
Is it?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm too busy doing amazing things.
I thought modern success was getting time back, so you had a load of time. Time is the new wealth, I think.
We were just having a debate about this, so I'm going to let our listeners in on a little text. We were just talking back and forwards, and Adam was giving me what I would say is maybe some obsolete advice that he's read in some aged books of so-called successful entrepreneurs and business entrepreneurs. You can tell I'm reading this. And people who had success, you know, in the corporate world. And, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s.
You can name the book. Like a lot of people have read the book.
Not naming the book. I'm just saying, I think you've taken multiple things from different books. And I'm not naming all the books because I'm not a librarian. So, you know, he's quoting all these different things to me. And here's my question to you is, most successful people write a book when in their career?
Well, usually they don't write the book.
After the fact, after the success, right? It's normally a, this is how I did it.
Well, in this case, it's not.
Well, they gained the experience in order to write the book. But my challenge to you is, well, 20 years down the line, that information has probably changed and the process isn't the same and it's obsolete. But now you're still trying to replicate someone's past success.
Yeah, but...
Stop reading. So my conclusion is, stop reading books, okay? Just do it yourself.
But people read the Bible. That was written how many years ago? And they lived their lives by that, so...
Yep.
What's your answer to that?
I haven't got one.
Yeah, exactly. You're a little fraud.
Not without censorship.
that's how knowledge gets passed along, you muppet. For thousands of years, you write things down and people learn from past mistakes and past victories.
You heard of the internet and Google?
Yeah, you still read stuff on the internet, don't you? You still have... Mate, have you played with that chat GPT yet?
Chat GPT? Never heard of it.
Oh, fuck. Go and download it, and it's going to change everything about the way we live our lives. It's fucking terrifying.
What is it, AI?
It's AI, but it's like basically Google, but AI, and you can put anything in there. You could say something like, I want you to write me a story about a banana and an elephant wrestling on the moon. And it'll just give this, it'll say, how long do you want it to be? And it writes this whole thing down. Or it'll say, I want you to like make this website for me, and it'll go and do it. Download it and play with it. It's going to blow your fucking mind. It's insane.
I'm just trying to think what an elephant and a banana on the moon did in your story.
Well, I wrote that story when I was 6 in primary school.
How did that sell?
Yeah, it didn't. But I'm gonna write a book now. I'm gonna write the book now that I think I'll want to read in 20 years.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, don't do it after. Don't do it after the fact.
I'm gonna write a book to future Adam.
Dear diary, this is Adam. It's 2022, and I want to be rich and famous.
If you could write a book to yourself when you... How old are you now? 33? 34?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
All right, so if you could have written a book to yourself at like 20 to now, what would you have said to yourself?
So if I'd have written a book when I was 20?
No, so like flip it. So if you had to write a book now to 20-year-old Thomas, what would you tell 20-year-old Thomas?
Do not start doing a podcast with a friend, you'll waste at least 3 or 4 hours a week with no return.
Mate,
that would be it. Page one. That would be the... What's the bit at the beginning of a book? The not the prequel. This is a prequel, isn't it?
The introduction.
Yeah, the intro. What you call it?
What are you calling it? The prequel.
That would be the contents page. That, you know, the bit where it's like, I'm writing this to my wife and blah,
the preface.
Yeah, prequel. Yeah. I like that. Prequel. And then the contents, and then all of the chapters, and then even the blurb at the back.
Oh, there you go. So you would just say, don't do a podcast. But what now if you're writing to yourself in 10 years, say, stick with the podcast, because the podcast is going to give you such a high return on your investment that it will be on parallel. Would you write that to yourself now? It's 5 to 10 years from now.
Tom, I hope your decision to continue doing this podcast outvalues working at a minimum wage job for 5 hours a week over the next 10 years.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's the case or not, but could you see this blossom into something where you would be like an ESPN broadcaster? You can't be any worse than the Fox broadcaster. It's been the worst coverage of any sporting event I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I'm hoping to get hired by them at some point, so I'm not.
That's what I'm saying.
Bad.
Well, you're saying they could come back to listen to this episode. There'll be a little soundbite.
I walk into the job interview and I'm like, hey, here's my CV, here's my resume. And they just played that soundbite and just say, thanks for coming. Get out.
Mate, you can't be worse than any. They're clowns. What else is going on? What's happening before we talk about football? Because the World Cup semifinals are starting in 53 minutes.
53 minutes. Countdown's on. sadly, we're not involved. Actually, I've got an interesting one for you. So we've got some friends that we're out and about this weekend with us for the World Cup, and they're relocating back to Texas this week. So they were talking about, someone brought up our podcast to them, and I couldn't believe they've never heard of it, which was bizarre in itself.
Idiots.
But Paul Barry, man with two first names, not really to be trusted, but he's going to be driving back to Texas. So he's like, me and my wife, we're going to listen to your podcast on the way back to Texas, which I'm not sure how that's going to go for them.
Oh, no.
But anyway, we're out to dinner, so shout out to them if you're listening. Hope you're enjoying so far. So they brought up this. So I went. We're in this little restaurant in Scottsdale, and I've gone into the toilet, and I don't know if you'll be able to see this over.
I don't want to see anything in the toilet.
It's the weirdest toilet I've ever seen in my life. I'm not sure if you can see this. Oh, why is it doing that?
Very blurry.
It's got...
Too blurry.
Got a grate. Can you see how it's like got a sink under it?
Oh, that's quite smart.
Got a grate. Right, which brought up some quite interesting dinner conversation about this urinal.
Urinal.
I'm not very good at speaking today.
What's wrong with you? Have you had a stroke?
It's not going well. So, got in. Why would you put a grate underneath the urinal? Like, surely you just hit the urinal. So there was some discussion about, would it be weird if someone just went in the grate? Because it's clearly just goes, it's for the same purpose.
Well, no, it wouldn't.
Because I heard an interesting one on, might have been on Twitter or something. There was a guy, I don't know if you've heard this clip, who called into a show, Australian guy, and he was talking about how weird it would be if, let's say you're in the pool with the lads in the summer. I don't know if you've heard this, right? And let's say, I don't know, Steve jumps in the pool, is having a couple of beers, and then Steve has a wee in the pool, right? And everyone's like, oh, that's disgusting, Steve. Don't do that in the pool, right? Don't piss in the pool. It's disgusting. But nobody, like, loses the plot.
Right.
But if he got out of the pool and stood on the edge of the pool and did a wee into it from outside of the pool, like, you'd be like, that's absolutely wrong. Get out. Like, never come back here again. Interesting concept. Same outcome, right? Well, same thing, but it's great.
No, it's not at all.
Why is it not?
Well, first of all,
going in the pool.
Well, first of all, people are not swimming in the grate. Oh, they're not sitting in the grate ever. So you taking a piss in the pool when people are in the pool, like, that's just obviously revolting.
By the way, I'd like to go on record saying that it is disgusting to piss in a pool. That's not the point. What I'm saying is it's the same outcome. Why have they put the grate there? It's just two toilets.
Yeah, but you could tie that to anything. You could just say, oh, well, just pissing anywhere is just like, I don't know. Like, it's just, you can't just have a shit in the living room, can you? Like, it's just, oh, well, it all goes to the same place.
This has gone off track. What I meant was, it was a very strange setup for a toilet. Just a bit weird.
It is a bit weird. I'll give you that. It is a bit of a strange setup, but I don't think it's that much of a weird thing that you're bringing it up now.
Never seen it before.
Well, did you piss in the grate or in the urinal?
I mean, hopefully I didn't miss the urinal. Potentially
but that, but that's why the grate's there. Because it then it, cause men are so shit at fucking aiming, especially after every few bevvies.
Yeah, maybe you should make a big urinal.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever watched the TV show Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I have watched it a lot. Larry David is one of my favourite people on earth.
So do you remember the episode where he opens a coffee shop and he has the women's urinals? And I have to squat down on him.
The spite shop.
Yeah, the spite shop, yeah. I might start a spite podcast.
So, well, against our own? Yeah. Against me? Yeah. You and Dean?
A spite show.
Slagging me off, brilliant.
That's all it is. It's just an anti-healthy obsession show.
Cool. Well, should we recap a little bit of... Well, how's things going with you, by the way, in case anyone out there listening is interested?
I don't think anyone is interested because you don't shut the fuck up talking about yourself. So, yeah, everything's good, mate. Obviously, Saturday we had a couple of beers, watched the World Cup, which was I thought was really funny and amusing. I think you less so. What else? I went to yoga.
Are you going to give some context to that?
Well, in a minute. Went to yoga class this morning.
Nice.
Yeah, that was good. Nearly died.
What were you doing? Try to touch your toes?
Just, it's hot. It's like 110 degrees and just dying. Like you feel, it's in my brain why it's happening. I think I'm a sponge and then just like getting squeezed everything out of me. Fuck, it feels great afterwards. But while it's happening, it's devastating.
I might need to do that, you know, sweat out all of the misery in my body.
No, that's what psychologists or psychiatrists are for.
Can't afford those.
Yeah, go to the sauna. Go to the
sauna. Yoga is much more effective.
Hot, yeah, go to the sauna, sit in the sauna for 10, 15 minutes before you go to the hot yoga class, and you just fucking, like, the whole place is drenched. The lady next to me is probably just looking at me like, what is wrong with you? You're the sweatiest man in America.
That's honking.
And it's all the, what do you call it, the housewives, you know, like, because I go in the middle of the morning, so it's like everyone else, all normal people are at work, and it's just me and all that. Yeah, they got jobs, and it's all the people, it's all the mums and the housewives in there, so it's quite amusing.
Do you have your own yoga mat?
I do, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Has it got a Man United badge on it?
Yeah, it's got AHO logo on it.
Written in Sharpie. Yeah. Another logo crossed out, and then AHO written in Sharpie on the backside.
It's actually just spray paint. I got a stencil.
Oh, speaking of things, have you still got my coat?
I do.
I knew it. I was looking for you.
What do you mean you knew it? You gave it to me. Why wouldn't I have it?
Did I give it to you?
I took it.
Yeah, I was going to say you took it.
I took it, but then you said it looked better on me and you didn't take it back. So it's my coat now.
Strange thing to say.
Well, you said it.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's recap quarterfinals.
Yeah, let's do it.
There's been a little matter of the World Cup quarterfinals going down in the past few days, Friday and Saturday, and lots of emotions running high. Croatia, Brazil, Tom, let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy round of quarterfinals. I mean, this World Cup has been the most unpredictable World Cup I can remember, right?
Yeah, and you say that, but it's going to end up with one of the same eight teams winning it that always win it.
Well, yeah, all right. Brazil, Croatia, obviously. I thought Brazil were poor. I thought, given all the hype we had about their attacking prowess, I thought they were poor. I thought Neymar was remarkably poor in the game. Croatia just know how to get results, don't they? They've just got that experience and that understanding. They've got a few good young players coming through with a blend of experience. And, I mean, I wouldn't write them off maybe winning the World Cup. Sounds drastic, but, you know, the way this World Cup's going, it might just be their year.
They seem to get better. And in tournaments, they go the other way, where they just grow into the tournament, which is, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but like Croatia just seems to get like harder, tougher, keep the ball better later in tournaments than they do in the beginning of the tournament. So like they were incredible against Brazil. But yeah, Brazil, I thought, were very disappointing overall.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, so I think it's funny because we look at, you know, major countries go out and we'll talk from an English perspective, right? Because we're both English. And like, that there's all of a sudden, should Southgate remain as manager? Is he wasting our best years ever? Can you imagine being Brazil and being like, wait, look at the attacking talent we've had, and we've not got past the quarter final either. It's wild. You know, it's...
Well, they were heavy favourites, but there was just something about, I thought against Croatia, there was something about that body language that, I don't know if it's just pressure, because I think my experience talking to Brazilians is especially about international football, is the expectation is to win every single tournament they play in. Their pressure's got to be immense.
You say that, but the game before, you know, the beat, it was Switzerland, and they're dancing and having a good old time. So you start, you know, all the talk around this game was that the Brazilians have got a great team culture. They're not feeling the pressure. I think what done them in, did you see the guy lob the cat off of the press conference?
I did, yeah. You don't like that, do you? Because you've got cats.
No, I'm pro-cat. So
I'm anti-cat. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
He picked it up like it was a bucket. It was so weird.
yeah, he picked it up from the top, didn't he? Like two hands on it. Yeah.
He picked up a cat with two. He scruffed it with two hands, but like one at the back of the cat and one at the. It was very weird, and they just dropped it.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed that. I respected him more for doing that.
I'd like to say that the cat was fine. No damage was done apart from Brazil's World Cup hopes, because the cat gods had payback.
Let's talk about Neymar, Cookie. I've got a feeling that Neymar is the Roberto Martinez of footballers. What do you reckon?
I like that a lot. Yeah, piss poor, but still keeps getting better jobs.
Well, and everyone, and the whole talk around him, that prior to the tournaments, this is his Ballon d'Or moment. This is what he's lived for. This is his moment to pick up this trophy. And he's just a little bluffer. And go back to France now and like win the French League. Nice one, mate.
Yeah, I agree. He's a bluffer. Me and you are on the same page on this one. I've never watched him and gone, he's a world-class player. Like,
nor
he just doesn't, for me, he doesn't grab a game and change it. Like, when it's going good for him, he's unbelievable. But it has to be on his terms, and it has to be in the right environment for him. And I don't think that's the sign of a world-class player.
I watched that game and I thought, Luka Modric is a world-class player. Neymar, nothing. There was nothing there where I thought this guy could turn this game. And granted, he scored, right? He scored the first Brazil goal, but I don't know. There's something missing for me. I always feel like I'm missing something when I watch Neymar. Like, what don't I get that everyone else is getting that say that he's a world-class player? And I always feel like it's just... Maybe it's me, but nah, I think he's the Roberto Martinez of football.
What an absolute insult. Can you imagine? Hey, so how do you react to criticisms that you are the Roberto Martinez of football, Mr. Neymar? I'll be fuming.
I know, but it's true. Like, they're going to end up in a team somewhere together at some point, just being little frauds.
They'll win something massive as well.
Did you know he's been linked to the US job?
Everyone's linked to that job right now. It's wild.
Imagine Roberto Martinez getting that job in lead up to the World Cup here. It's going to happen.
Stick a tenner on that. You'll be loaded. You can start paying me for the podcast.
I can almost guarantee that that's going to happen, because he's such a bluffer. And that's a Hollywood job, with the World Cup being in this country next time. Now, all the cameras will be on him. And the US will get knocked out in the round of 16 by fucking Sweden.
You predicted it.
There you go. Just before we move on to the next game, what did you? I never knew anything about this guy before the game, but I thought he was. I don't know if he was man of the match, but I thought he was as the Croatia right back.
He's been brilliant, young lad, isn't he?
Who's he play for? Leipzig, is it?
I'm not sure where he plays. You're talking about? Is it Juranovic?
Yeah, Juranovic. Yeah, he's
brilliant, isn't
he? Mate, he was unbelievable. He plays for Celtic.
And his energy was off the charts.
Mate, he was, and he's so fast.
He's also playing next to Dejan Lovren. Ideal, is it? But fair play to the man.
Let's talk about Argentina and Holland, because this was a fucking barnstormer of a game.
Barnstormer. It was absolutely... What an... Like, when you look at a quarterfinal, you go, all right, you're 2-0 up, you're Argentina, very comfortable. Talk about hitting almost the self-destruct button. It was mad.
Close to it. They were close, weren't they? I thought this is exactly what I thought would happen to an Argentinian team, because they get so fucking hyped up. Well, kind of like Brazil. They get so emotional, and it's so emotionally charged. But start at the beginning, because the pass for the Molina goal from Messi. Well, what's he even doing trying to pass that?
I mean, that you talk about the difference between a Neymar and a Messi. It's right there. That's right. Like out of nothing. I mean, you look at that. There's not even a passing lane there.
No,
like, nobody sees it, and he just dinks it through. The weight of the pass. It's just, I mean, it's world class, and you can't. There's not much more to say about it, is there? Really, it's just unreal to watch. And he was. They were comfortable. I thought Argentina were very comfortable at that point, right? You thought, well, they're going to go on and take care of business here by a lot. What do you think turning point was?
I think Argentina's legs went. I just think that probably about the 70-ish, 75th minute, they looked tired. I think they had worked so hard. And Holland were poor. Holland didn't offer anything really going forward. And fair play, I think your man was a sub, right? Was it Weghorst?
Yeah, what a man. But you know what the best part about him is? I think didn't he get booked in the first half for chirping from the bench?
He did,
got booked for chirping from the bench, and then he comes on and bags two to get him back into it. By the way, they were the Dutch's only two shots on target in the game.
Yeah, no, I think that Holland were disappointing. I was disappointed with their performance overall, but I just thought after they went 2-0 up, Messi scored the penalty, and I think they thought the mentality switched. They all right, we're done. We're in, and the energy level just dropped off a cliff. And fair play to Holland, because they pressed it. They didn't give up, which it would have been easy. 2-0 down at 75 minutes, it would have been easy just to give up and let Argentina have the ball and just write it off. But they got after it and went for it, and it got chippy though, didn't it? It was a proper little naughty game. There's lots of shit talking and tackles flying in.
14 yellow cards. 14. That's 8 for Argentina. Like I can't. We haven't got there yet, but I can't see how the French don't go on and win this World Cup. They're gonna take care of Morocco, and then the final. If Argentina get there, Argentina have got 8 players on a yellow card just from this game. So how many are gonna be suspended for the final? Is that a thing still?
So, no, I think they wipe for the final, don't they?
Do they?
I don't know. I'm not
sure.
Can't
imagine they do. Right?
Yeah, they've got. Let's see. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players on yellow cards.
Yeah. Insane. So, I mean, yeah, it just lost all control, didn't it? Which was great viewing for us as the neutral. I mean, when the lad, who was it that just absolutely pinged one into the bench of the Dutch? Who was it? Was it McAllister that did it?
Yeah, it's McAllister.
Launched it into the bench. Like, how's he even stayed on the pitch at that point? Surely that's a red card. You just smash a ball directly into the bench.
And Edgar Davids getting involved with Messi. Tell you he's going to knock Messi out.
it's just brilliant. There's so many elements of the game. We talk about it for a week.
Who did Van Dijk flatten? He absolutely leveled somebody.
he cleaned out. I think it was Fernandez, the midfielder. Or Alvarez. Oh. That's what you want to watch. You want to watch the feistiness. I think the referee, I don't know if he did a good job or a bad job. It's a hard one because I think once he started dishing the cards, he'd let the, you know, it was out of control, wasn't it? He'd opened up the Pandora's box. And once you started doing that, there's no way back. But even at the end, after the game, the Argentines win on pens, and that picture of all of them celebrating in the Dutch faces. Is that classless or is it good entertainment?
No, I think it's perfect. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think it's just what we need more of is a bit of shithousery in football. I, for one, am all for it. I think when did Denzel Dumfries get sent off? He got sent off in the 120th. Was that during the game or was it after it had finished?
Honestly, I don't know. I was looking at it just now and I didn't want to bring it up because I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was talking about.
I don't remember
him getting sent off.
I don't remember getting a red. I'm not sure when that was.
Must have been after. He get sent off? No, he got sent off during the pens, didn't he?
I don't know. Maybe that's why Argentina went mad. 128, isn't it? Because apparently, what I didn't see, but apparently Holland were following them up to kick and talking shit to them and like trying to put them off. So that's why Argentina went mad at the end.
And I think that's why he got his second yellow. I think there was a yellow card during the pens, if I remember correctly.
Gotcha.
I remember I turned to who was I watching it with, and I was like, is he just giving out a yellow card during a penalty shootout? Which was bizarre because it was like not even to a goalkeeper for coming off his line or anything. It was a player back on the halfway line. It's insane.
But then that happens and Van Dijk missing the first one. That rocks your confidence because it's like you need the first one buried. And putting Messi on the first one was bold as well because I noticed Brazil stuck Neymar on the fifth in theirs. It's like the big. What do you think as a coach? Do you want your big player stepping up first or do you want him later in the pack?
Are you referring to Van Dijk being your big player?
Van Dijk's definitely the biggest Holland player now.
Is he your first penalty taker? He doesn't take penalties for his club.
I'm not even saying that. I mean, more of a leadership thing, like show the rest of the team that you're not shook. Like, go get it done.
Yeah, but yes and no. We're talking about international. This is World Cup football. All of these guys are professionals paid lots of money to play football. I think at that point, you don't go, oh, Van Dijk, show him out, it's done. Like, who are your best strikers of a ball? You know, you've got a lot of very, very good footballers that have taken penalties before Van Dijk. I think it's bizarre for me. I don't know if that's the way I would go. But again, you don't know what's happening on the training ground. He might have taken 1,000 penalties and scored 999 of them. And, you know, you just don't know. I would say
Virgil van Dijk's probably one of the best strikers of football in the Holland team. No? Have you seen him zip a pass?
You've got Daley Blind in there, mate.
Yeah, he's also second best. He should have been up there. He wasn't on the pitch.
And Stevie Bergwijn.
He wasn't on the pitch.
Spurs legend. Memphis Depay got subbed, didn't he?
He got hooked. Yeah.
Gakpo, their top scorer, got hooked. What's he doing? Man, he's had a nightmare.
Van Gaal, and he quit in the he quit during the presser afterwards.
Like, so basically, it came down to a decision between Nathan Ake and Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it makes sense.
now it makes more sense. Yeah, so Steven Berghuis. He missed the second one, and Argentina cruised on. They only missed one. Lautaro Martinez banged in the winner. But overall, I thought it was a quality game. I enjoyed it.
One of the best games of the World Cup, 100%.
So on Saturday, Morocco shocked the world by beating Portugal.
What wild, wild scenario. I mean, they've now beaten Spain, they've beaten Portugal, they've beaten the Belgians, right?
Yeah, they beat Belgium, yeah.
I think they're absolutely at their precipice now. I'm not sure there's much more left for them going up against the French. Mm. But what a gutsy performance. The goal they scored was unbelievable, the header.
The vertical was up there with, you remember that crazy Ronaldo header a few years ago? It was like the same as that. Yeah, it was like the highest vertical in soccer.
Even better that Ronaldo was on the bench watching it.
I know. What do you make it? Yeah, so I mean, we talked about it a bit because he was dropped for the round of 16 and they cruised the round of 16. So it's hard to justify as the coach to say, well, it didn't pull off because it worked in the round of 16. So you've got to stick with your winning team, I think. But to not play Ronaldo, who, look, whatever anyone thinks about him now, he's still been and is up there as one of the greatest players in the world. I think not playing him in the quarterfinal of a World Cup is a fucking stupid, stupid mistake.
No, I disagree. You've just won, what, 6-1?
6-1, yeah.
6-1, right? So, as a manager, how do you have any right, any value or integrity in dropping a player who's just played in that last game? You've won 6-1. Now, think about it from this perspective. If you start Ronaldo as one of those players and then you still lose the game, well, why have you played Ronaldo? You folded to his pressure. You're just playing him because of his name, right? Now, the flip side of it, you don't play him and you lose. Well, why have you not played? I think you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And he brought him on very early. It's not like he came on late. I mean, what minute did he come on? I think it was 60 minutes.
Yeah, it was early in the second half, yeah.
So he had a long time on the pitch. And let's be honest, he didn't do anything. He was awful. He lost the ball 4 or 5 times. He didn't look like he had any attacking threat. I think it was valid. I just think he's just passed it.
I disagree. And I think the result showed.
He was on for 40 minutes, mate.
Yeah, but I think I'm not saying that it's right because I think he's a big crybaby. And look, he pissed off the Juventus manager. He pissed off the United manager. He's pissed off the Portugal manager. He's a problem, right? At this stage of his career, he's a problem. But I think once you've dropped him, you should just not play him at all. Because I don't think he's a player to come off the bench. I think he's too much of an egomaniac. And I think that was an opportunity where, as you just said, the coach is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If you don't put him on and you lose the game 1-0, it's why didn't you bring Ronaldo on? If you do start him and they don't do well, it's like, what are you starting him for? You know, he's past it. You shouldn't have him in the team. So I think, yeah, there's no way to kind of appease.
Yeah, you can't win.
Yeah, it's a no-win for him, but I think it's probably better for them now to move on and because they've got a good squad, right? Like, look at the rest of that squad. It's incredible. Like, they've got a good young team there now to go on and do some damage in the next few tournaments.
Yep, 100%. So, I mean, wild one from Rocco. I mean, red card at the end. I think both centre backs are now injured. They were absolutely backs to the wall at the end, but they had some chances to go two, even 3-0. Look, potentially, there's a couple of 1v1s. They absolutely blew, but what it was just wild. I mean, I couldn't believe I was watching Morocco head into a World Cup semi-final. I still can't believe we're going to see Morocco play in a World Cup semi-final. I mean, there's nobody. You talk about these the March Madness brackets in basketball. I mean, there can't be anyone that said it'll be Morocco France in the semi-final. There can't be a single person that truthfully believed that would happen.
I don't think anyone I spoke to haven't had them coming out of the
The group.
group. Croatia, Belgium, and even Canada. I think people fancy Canada over Morocco. And Morocco went through that group, only conceded one goal, and they went through top of
Wild.
that group.
Yeah.
And they still have only conceded one goal.
It's absolutely wild. It's brilliant, but they've got a good little team. They've got a good
So
little team.
before we look at the semi-final, we'll talk about the last game of the quarterfinals now. England 1, France 2. Tommy, overview, highlights. What did you think of the match?
Didn't watch it, mate.
Yeah, you did. Watch it. You were fucking crying in the pub.
I thought England played very well. It's a game that came down to a couple of moments, right? You look at the first goal we conceded. I'm going to sound like a whiny Englishman. Was there a foul in the build-up to that goal? Probably. And it's a shot from 25 yards that, it's a fault. But nothing that France really created. You don't go, oh, they broke England down to score that goal. And then, obviously, we have a couple of chances. A couple of potential penalties, free kicks that don't go our way. Finally, get the penalty, 1-1. And I thought once we were 1-1, I thought there was no doubt England would go on and win the game. We outshot them, what, 16-8 possession. We had what, nearly 60% of possession. I don't think anyone could argue, unless they were just trying to be a pisser, that England weren't better on the day. I think even Deschamps came out and said it afterwards that England were probably better, but France found a way to win the game. And then you get the second goal. I think centre backs between Stones and Maguire, it's a big error and probably the only major error that they made all tournament to this point. And Giroud gets in on a wonderful cross from Griezmann, and it's world class. And we go 2-1 down, and then Kane gets a penalty in the 83rd minute, and you go, all right, we'll score this, and we'll still be all right. And he doesn't. And that's the crazy part of football, because he's going up against his own goalkeeper twice. And there'll be a lot of debate. Oh, should he have taken the second one? Blah, blah, blah. Of course he should have. He's just put it 5 yards over the bar, and he'll
Five
continue to.
yards out of the stadium.
Oh, for God's sake. So my overall, it was a weird one, because normally when England lose, it's a big like, well, we never tried, we never played, we never showed up. I mean, I think we ticked, it was a very, very good performance. We ticked nearly all the boxes. We just didn't score the goals to get a result.
I think oddly, so when you watch a game in a pub and you're talking, you miss something. So I watched the highlights back, and there's a couple of things that I noticed as an England, as you like an England, watching England over the years, you've seen them kind of be negative, and I was reading something about Southgate had studied like kind of what Deschamps had done as far as setting France up when they've obviously been very successful the last few tournaments, and surprisingly, France have gone the other way, where it's now what can they do without the ball, right? They surrender in possession, they're letting the other team have the ball, and they're picking teams off on the counter, right? And I think England tried to do that, I think, in the Euros, didn't they? Where especially against Italy and some of the stronger teams, it's like, hey, look, you're going to have the ball, and we're going to try and pick you off. And I think that surprises me. I've maybe just watching jaded watching England over the years, where England usually don't have the ball and it's scrappy and they're trying to win the ball back. But I think that was a bit surprising that. Watching it back, I was like, oh shit, like England had a lot of the ball, and France, that's France's strategy, is just to sit off and kind of wait for you to make some mistakes. I knew Bellingham had a good game, but he had a great game after I rewatched it. That kid is a different gear. I was watching him in the first sort of 20, 25 minutes of the game. Griezmann just kept dropping into those little pockets sort of between Rice and Bellingham and coming getting on the ball, and I thought, Like, oh, this, like, Bellingham acknowledged it. He saw it and went and addressed it and then got tighter to Griezmann. And I'm like, that kid's, whoever picks him up, I know he's at Dortmund, but whoever picks him up next, he's going to be the next 15 years of one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Different level of a player. And the squad's generally pretty good. I think defensively, the future's not bright. But midfield and going forwards, it is brilliant. I thought Saka, and I'll only ever say this once, was excellent. I couldn't believe he got subbed. Someone said he might have picked up a knock, but I couldn't believe we took him off.
I would say, and I wanted to know what you thought about this. It's easy to say in hindsight, I know, but I think the last two tournaments, that's where Southgate as a coach has dropped the ball. I thought his substitutions against, I think against Italy, he was trying to get, I think it was Rashford and someone else on the, me and you were joking about Depends. It while we were watching the games. Yeah. He was trying to get them on the field for about 8 minutes. Yeah. Okay, so some of that's not his fault, but like you've got to figure that out as a coach, right? Get someone on the ground, get someone down injured, get those players on the pitch. And I thought against France, same thing. Bad time. Jack Grealish coming on in the 98th minute. Why wasn't Rashford? We were talking about this in the pub. Rashford should have been on the pitch for Foden. France were pushed up the field and there was space in behind to get Rashford on and have a run at them. By the time Rashford gets on the field, France had dropped off. The space in behind was gone.
I do agree. I think that's Southgate's flaw is in-game tactical changes, like just personnel and identifying opportunities, right? And that's not always easy when you're on the sideline and you're in the flow and the emotion. And he's probably watching the game going, I think we've been better so far. Like there was a point in the second half where we talked about it and we said, I'd leave it as is for a little while. Mm. And it's easy to change when you don't have that responsibility. It's easy for us to go, well, leave it the same. And then, oh, now bring on Rashford. Like, well, right. it's not as simple as that, right? But I thought in general, we got it right. I think, again, Kane scores that penalty 9 times out of 10. And I think England go on and win the game. And we're talking about watching England play Morocco tomorrow. And it's coming home, right? But again, it's tiny, tiny, tiny differences. And that's where it's at.
So overall, just to wrap on England, would you say that it was a positive tournament? And where are you at with Southgate? Do you think the project continues or do you think it's time to refresh and start rebuilding for the next couple of tournaments?
Well, I've seen some stats flying around where they go, here's England's last three major tournaments and who they've beaten, right? And it's there isn't a big team in there, right? We've lost to Croatia, we've lost to Italy. I think we beat Germany in the Euros.
Yeah, we did semis. Yeah. Or the quarters.
But outside of that, there's not really been a game where we're the maybe a questionable favourite or not a favourite. You know, we're beating Ecuador and Wales and
Senegal.
Senegal, and you go through it and you're like, okay, we haven't. That's not necessarily our fault. You can only beat what's in front of you, right? Mm. But I think Southgate does an incredible job of building culture and building environment. I think we stick with him through the next Euros. I don't think there's much to lose. I think the players like him. I don't think there's an alternative for me. That's like, I wouldn't go and get Pochettino to be the England manager for the next Euros. I don't think that moves the needle for us.
Well, I think he, especially for the Euros, he probably has the majority of the same squad, barring one or two people popping out that get on form over the next 2 years, right?
It's only 18 months. You forget this is the World Cup that's in December. So we're talking about, you know, literally less than 18 months. It's flying around. So I think you leave him in place for me. I don't see a reason to make the change. I don't think it's like, oh, God, we fell way below what we're capable of. Mm. Fine margins.
Yeah, definitely. All right, cool. So semi-finals about to start in 20 minutes. So what are your predictions for these semis? You got Argentina and Croatia and Morocco and France.
I've not got a clue, mate. it's very hard to predict because I think the Argentina-Croatia, I think, is a really, really tight one to call. I'm not sure Croatia I think Croatia will go into this game with the idea that if they can be very disciplined and frustrate the Argentinians, I think it swings very quickly in Croatia's way. It's going to be in those fine moments. Croatia going to have to dodge a bullet. There's going to be Messi on the ball around the box. You give him one chance, he'll create or he'll score. So I think Croatia are going to have to dodge a couple of bullets. But if they do, then I think, you know, if we're 70, 80 minutes in and Argentina have missed a couple of chances, then it's Croatia's day. But they're going to have to dodge a couple. That's just the way it's going to be, I think. So who's going to win that one? Argentina. I think they will score. I think it's written for Messi to win it this year.
I do as well. I think that it's whether it's the refs or whatever, but I think it's Messi's tournament. I think he has to win this one. It's good for the PR for, I think he's going to go and do some campaigning for the Saudi Arabia World Cup, isn't he? So,
I think Argentina, yeah, probably a slight favourite for me, but don't write off Croatia because we've been doing it for bloody years and they got to the last World Cup final. I mean, they're a top team. So, you know, write them off at your peril.
What about the other side?
I mean, I can't see past France. I really can't. I know it sounds silly given how far Morocco have come, but injuries, they've got a red card that they've lost a player for now. I'm not sure they've got the depth to handle the quality of France. I can't. I think if France score early, the wheels come off and it'll be a 3 or 4 niler for France. And then I know we've just said Messi's World Cup, but if Argentina get into a war and they pick up a few yellows and they got a few suspensions, I mean, that can affect them going into a final if they get there. So it, really, it's written for France, common sense-wise. But when your heart goes, you go, probably go with the Argentinians.
Yeah, I like the underdog story, but I think everyone would love to see an Argentina-France final. I think that's a tasty final, isn't it?
From a football perspective, yeah. My underdog story wants the Moroccans in, but I mean, I can't imagine it being a fantastic final if Morocco win it, unless they win it. You know what I mean?
The bus will be parked.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to come out and play up front, are they? So
no,
not what you want to see for a final.
All right, well, let's get off the call because this semi's about to start. I hope everyone enjoys the game. Tom, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the game as much as you've enjoyed this show. Like
yeah. All right, cheers for listening, everyone.
And Paul Barry, if you're still listening and you've made it into Texas, congratulations.
West Texas Buyers Club. All right, cheers, everyone.
Bye.